In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Lord says clearly in the Gospel, as he says everything clearly, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." And this verse has been misunderstood by many, especially those who would consider themselves to think that the Bible is the only source of Christian doctrine. They think that this is unbiblical, blasphemous, an abomination, various things like that. Now we, who are part of the church, we call priests, deacons, monks, father. We call nuns, mother. We have spiritual fathers. We have godfathers and godmothers. And of course, we have natural fathers. And we call all of those fathers or mothers. So what are we to say in response to this proof text of a Bible verse? It's very important to some people. I've actually corresponded with people that refuse to call me father because they think it's literally a sin to do so. They just call me sir or mister or something like that, or sometimes priest, which is slightly more acceptable to them because, it's not forbidden to call a man priest in the gospel. It's forbidden to call a man father. But what are we to say? Since we obviously call people father, are we transgressing the scripture? Well, of course not. Scripture proves that this idea is unbiblical, to not call anybody father. Unfortunately, some who read the scripture, they proof texted with their own opinions and not with the aid of the church's wisdom, so they might not agree. So you can talk to people about the scripture. You can say, this scripture proves this and this scripture proves that. But then they can say, well, this other scripture proves something else and trumps all your scripture. So just having polemics or apologies based upon scripture is not always completely effective. Of course, only the Holy Spirit brings people to knowledge of the truth. A compelling argument is that the church always did this, always called people father. The church always thought that the holy mysteries were indeed the body and blood of Christ. The church always made the sign of the cross. These kinds of things are compelling. But for those who don't think of the church in the same way that we do, they don't understand. However, when you talk with someone who is proof texting from the Bible, it is a good idea to say, the reason we believe this is because it was always done. Now, they might not believe you, but at least a seed has been planted. And more than once, such a seed has grown to fruition later on when a person realized that their whole philosophical framework is based upon flimsy ideas which have no basis in the historical church. Now, we must understand how to interpret Scripture if we're going to interpret this or any other verse, especially the verses that seem sort of a little bit difficult, maybe say things that are a little uncomfortable to us. Number one, Scripture's literal, but it's also metaphorical. It's also hyperlative. It's also mystical. It can be all those things at once in the same very same verse. It does not take the time to explain itself like a PowerPoint slide would. We'd make sure people understand when we're presenting something to them in a lecture. But that's not what Scripture does. The Scripture is not a lecture meant to explain from A to Z something. And we have to understand and enter into its mind. Also, it is written in context and with a certain ethos, certain understanding. And if you do not understand that ethos, you do not understand the Scripture. So let's take a look quickly at some literal things in Scripture. How about this one, which I'll talk about another time? "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." That's from John chapter 6. Very important words. and we take them literally. We've always understood them to be literal. In fact, they were understood to be literal then because people left because of what the Lord said, because it was too hard for them to bear. Obviously, there are many people who believe in Christ who do not take this literally. So this is a literal example in Scripture. By the way, there was no controversy about this, whether or not the Lord was speaking literally truth, until after the Reformation. John Calvin believed in it, in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So it took a long time for people finally to not believe that this is literally what the Lord said. Here's another example. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. There's no wiggle room in that. I suppose another one would be, if you don't forgive your brother, you will not be forgiven. Of course, that's a paraphrasement there. Here's something where the Scripture is metaphorical. It's metaphorical often, typological, metaphorical. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. This is when he's warming up to say that you must eat his body and drink his blood. But obviously this is a metaphorical statement. It's also hyperlative. We must understand the hyperbole in the Scriptures and in our prayers. Our Lord says this famous idea, this famous verse, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, everybody knows, including people who take the Scripture very literally, such as in this idea of call no man father, everybody knows that the Lord is not saying to hate your father and mother. That would go against the fifth commandment. So the Scripture has to be understood in context and with an ethos, and the ethos is the mind of the church. Now let's look at our verse in context and see if we can do a little exegesis of it. So it's kind of long, but it's important to see it in context. Now there's several kinds of context, by the way. There's what precedes and follows the verse or verses you're looking at, immediately before and after. But there's also the context of the book in which it's written, and the context of the entire Scriptures, and the context of the mind of the church. That all weighs into what something means. So, here is the verse in context with the verses before and after. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves do not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats at the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. If you understand this in the context immediately of the verses before and after, and also the whole context of Scripture in our Lord's teaching about ministry, it becomes very clear. He's using hyperbole, don't call any man father, to get across a point. I must remind you again, when people talk about this verse, if you're talking to them about it, remind them about the mind of the church. They won't believe you, they might dismiss what you're saying, but it plants a seed. So basically you can tell what he's saying about the Pharisees. They're hypocrites, they're proud. They scheme and they do things that they don't tell others to do, right? They're the do as I do, not as I say do people. They're unworthy of the title rabbi, clearly, because of their attitudes and their actions. They seek after acclaim, and the Lord rebukes them for this. So, they do not know where or from whom their ministry comes from. In a larger context, what are we to say about this scripture? Well, a teacher must remember several things. They're very important to remember. If you don't remember them, you fall. You fall far. One, a teacher is a teacher. He is a father, a priest, a spiritual father, a godfather, a father of children. He is a father. He is a teacher. But he is not the father or the teacher who is. He's not God. His ministry comes from God. He is unworthy. And his teaching and fatherhood only come because of God's good pleasure. There's lots of scripture that points this out. St. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. St. Luke says to his disciples, one of my favorite verses, so likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done only that which was our duty to do. And a wonderful verse from Ephesians that I learned of when I was listening to something and thinking about talking about this. St. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know what that means? Our ministry of fatherhood comes from God. Our ministry of acting like God comes from God. And indeed, we do act like God. That is a flagrant but not a blasphemous statement, because it's true. We are called to be creators, aren't we? We create life. So we are called to be like God in that we create. We are called, some of us, to be priests, and therefore to minister to the people, just as the Lord Jesus Christ ministered. We are called to heal, to preach, to teach, just as our Lord did. We indeed are called to be like God, to emulate Him. That's why the scripture says, ye are gods, and all of ye are the sons of the Most High. That's Psalm 81:6. Interesting, I think last time I said it was Psalm 8, and I remembered it being as 8:6. Well, I just missed a 1. It's Psalm 81:6. We are to never forget where we receive our godhood from, our being a father from, our being a teacher, our being a master. It is because of God. So the Lord is using this hyperbole to show that the way of the Pharisees is the way of death. It's not the way of humility. And we are to avoid it as we would avoid a snake. Now, let's look at the context of all of Scripture, because Scripture explicitly calls men father or master. Both Paul and our Lord Jesus Christ do that. For instance, here's a famous one, where St. Paul takes upon himself the mantle of fatherhood. He even says this amazing statement of that he has begotten his children. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Was St. Paul unaware of our Lord's words? Did our St. Paul transgress our Lord's words? Of course not. Those who literally take the Bible would not say that, and we would not either, because it's wrong. St. Paul believed himself, proclaimed himself to have begotten his children. The churches that he founded, those that he either baptized or arranged for them to be baptized, those that he taught, those that he bled for, that he suffered for, that he prayed for, he was their father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, has Father Abraham, has the rich man saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on us." Did our Lord transgress this scripture? Did he transgress his own words? When Nicodemus shows that he doesn't understand something about being born again, the Lord says incredulously, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" He's saying, you are a master. You're a teacher, but you don't understand what you should. But he does say that he's a master. And of course, the Ten Commandments say, honor thy father and thy mother. Are we to stop calling our father, father? Are we just to call him Mr. Smith or Harry? St. Paul teaches to call him father. He was a spiritual father. Do you know why this is important? I've told you before, one of the things about the Orthodox faith that so struck me when I first came to it, and every day I feel more deeply this feeling, I'm not alone. I'm a weak, sinful person. And our Lord says that I can do many things, but he's God, and he's perfect. And of course he would be able to be free of sin because of his perfection as God. Well, what about me? Well, the saints did it. Many saints did it and overcame sometimes great sins. They are our examples. They are our people that we emulate and that give us a sense of confidence. So St. Paul in another place says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He doesn't say follow Christ. He says follow me as I follow Christ. Because sometimes we need something a little bit lower. We need to follow someone who follows Christ. It's very, very important. This is missing from the Bible-only type Christianity. Often their history is very, very short. They might have a few people that they venerate as great writers, as great churchmen, like maybe R.A. Torrey or C.S. Lewis or Charles Spurgeon or something. But really, it doesn't go very far. And there aren't those examples like we have. Now, we have those examples, so we better do better than we're doing now. I'll close with this. I found, when I was doing a little research on this, a quote from John Calvin, of all people. He wrote some things that were definitely in error. There's no doubt about it. But some of the things that he believed were in line with the church, and they've kind of been washed away by the sands of time and by his disciples. He wrote this: "While Paul claims for himself the appellation of Father, he does it in such a manner as to not take away or to diminish the smallest portion of the honor which is due to God. God alone is the Father of all in faith, but they whom he is graciously pleased to employ as his ministers for that purpose, are likewise allowed to share with him in his honor, while at the same time he parts with nothing that belongs to himself." So now you understand, I hope, a little bit more about this verse. We are to call no man father in terms of giving honor that belongs to God to a mere mortal man. I think especially, to be honest with you, this verse is not so much about other people calling a teacher father as the teacher cultivating that sort of cultish adoration. That has killed many a person, even in our day. In our generation, I have seen people that have cultivated that kind of adoration, and they become sort of rock stars among people. where everybody would ask them for every possible thing, like they were some sort of great seer of wisdom and mystery. And some of them fell very, very far. So, that doesn't mean that a person such as myself should, with some sort of false humility, pretend not to be a father. I am. I'm unworthy, but I am a father. I am a teacher. I do have authority. And as long as I remember that my authority is from God and not of myself, I'll be safe. And that's the same for all other priests, deacons, mothers, fathers, teachers, lecturers, theologians, anybody. So may God help us to truly understand the Scripture. You have to come to an understanding by the whole ball of wax, not just reading the Scripture verses, but understanding them in the context of the church. It is perfectly scriptural and good and holy to call those who teach you Father and to give them respect because of their office. But also to remember that they are men and women, in some cases, that have clay feet and that need your prayers so that they do not fall to the sin of pride like the Pharisees did. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages. Amen.